Hi, and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's guest is really special. I've been a fan of this guy since I was a kid. He kind of grew up with me when I think about it, because we're the same age, right?
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly.
But... he's a well-known actor of the stage and the big screen.
Yes,
I'm talking about actor... Daniel Radcliffe. How's it going, Daniel?
Oh, quite well, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, Aaron. It's a pleasure, a real pleasure.
Yeah, I know you live in the West Village, so how long did it take you to get here?
Well, I rode a horse from my apartment here, so it took me about 4 hours.
Wait, you rode a horse?
That's right, yes.
From the West Village?
I did, yes, I did. That's actually what initially attracted me to the West Village. I thought it was sort of a Wild West Village, sort of a cowboy town. I was trying to do some research for a role I was playing. Turns out, not the case, but I still, you know, I think an important part of acting is commitment, is really, you know, making a choice and sticking with it. So, yes, I until the release of the upcoming feature film Cowmen, in which I play a cowboy who grows into a cowman, I will be living my life as a cowman, yes.
Do you find that difficult living in New York City to, like, adapt for your role to the city lifestyle?
It is a little bit difficult. Absolutely, there are challenges. You know, the horse is often slightly slower than the subway. People don't. Oftentimes, my hat will bump into things. I'm wearing, for the listeners may not be able to see, but I'm wearing quite a large cowboy style hat at the moment, and that can be a bit of an imposition. Sure, there are certainly challenges, but I think it's worth it for my craft. You know, I spent the entire time filming the Harry Potter series living as if I were truly a wizard, and I'd say that was much tougher. So
I can imagine that would be quite tough. Now, I heard there was basically no breaks between those Harry Potter films that they shot basically back to back. What was it like, your life just being Harry Potter for 10 years?
Yeah, it was really quite something, you know? It's sort of like you go away to summer camp, or you go to a new school, and you get to reinvent yourself as this new person, but then you are that person, you know? I made friends that I still keep in touch with, and yes, we still like to pretend that we have magical powers. I mean, it's hard to say goodbye to something like that, you know? I mean, it's, hordes of adoring fans are one thing, but to fly on a broom, it's really quite something.
I've always wanted to ask someone from the Harry Potter cast about this, but one, what was your favorite movie? And two, if you were an actual wizard, what would be the first thing you would do?
Ooh, those are good questions. Those are good questions. I would have to say, it's hard. I think in some ways my favorite movie is the first one. You know, that's the one I look back at the most fondly because it's the one that started it all. You know, I was a young, fresh-faced boy. I think back to it and, you know, I hadn't been hardened by the difficulties of the Hollywood lifestyle. You know, it seemed so simple at the time. Plus there was that part where the pigtail comes out of my cousin's butt, and I liked that part a lot. That was really, it really spoke to me. Yes, I thought it was funny, but that sort of, you know, that's sort of funny because it hits such a deep chord, you know? Like, I've always wanted to be able to do that to someone. So I guess if I was a real wizard, first I would do that a lot. I would, every time somebody did something to make me angry, I would make a little pigtail come out of their butt, or maybe a number of pigtails, you know, sort of a bouquet of pigtails. I think that would be gay. Probably that, and then maybe, you know, perhaps solving world hunger or something like that. Yeah. I always liked that. You know, there seemed to be a lot of poverty in Hogwarts, you know? It's magic. It seems nice.
No, I always found that interesting, that they keep their wizardry a secret, but they could solve a lot of, like, world problems with it.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That is true. Wizards are, if you're a wizard, it's great, but they are kind of dicks, I think. Yeah, they're very much, you know, they're the cool kids. You can't have any muggles coming in and helping with any of this stuff, you know?
Now, looking at wizardry in a different light, do you think that they're to blame if they don't intervene in the muggle problems?
Well, now that's an interesting question, you know? That's an interesting question. In some ways, I would refer to J.K., you know, she's the one who's...
Oh, we've had J.K. on the show.
Oh, actually. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's great. I give her my regards, you know, retroactively.
She talked about how basically, more or less, she's just always thinking about the money. Like, for her, it was a very financial thing. And, She was really cool on the show. I really enjoyed her discussion. Talked about how she has a lot of showers in her house.
Oh, is that right? She always is. She always seemed impeccably clean. You know, I always thought just fresh and almost dewy every time I saw her. But yeah, I do think that is an important question to ask. I'm actually working on a screenplay right now that answers some of those sorts of questions. It's set during, it kind of time hops between different national and international tragedies, you know, the Irish potato famine, the Holocaust, you know, also just, that one's very brief, don't worry, it's very tasteful, but then we sort of see what's happening in the real world, and then we go to the Wizarding World, and everybody's just still kind of having a good time. It's just like, oh man.
It's very interesting that you bring up those two tragedies, considering you are both half Irish and half Jewish.
Whoa, that is true. You know, you may have read my mind a little bit. I also go into the lesser known 19th century persecution of everyone named Daniel. You know, it was a real rough period for a while. Us Daniels were a real persecuted minority, and I think it's time someone gave us a voice, preferably one of us. You know, a fellow Dan.
Oh, what was the persecution of the Daniels like? Because I'm not really too keen on my history.
Oh, sure.
I do the research for the show, but I beyond that, like, I haven't researched everyone named Daniel.
Of course not. No, there was, there's a lot of rhyming-based bullying. You know, Dan, Daniel, Danny. There's a lot of words that rhyme with those. You know, Danny could become Fanny. You know, and across the pond, you know, that one here in the States, it means something different. You know, in America, Fanny means you're behind, but in the UK, you flip 180 degrees forward.
Woman's
That's what
genitals.
It is. It's a woman's genitals. That's right. And I didn't want to be called a woman's genitals as a child, but
They called you Fanny Danny.
They did. They called me Fanny Danny. It's true. I didn't like it, but at this point, it's part of the fuel. You know, it's part of the fire that keeps me going. So
now
that's
Do people make fun of the name Danny a lot? You hear people singing like, "Oh, Danny boy"?
Oh yes, absolutely. There's that. That happens. You know, people will say, "Oh, Danny," sing "Oh, Danny boy." They'll sing other songs that don't even have the name Daniel in them, and they'll just put Daniel in it right there. You know, like the song you're all I've got tonight. They would just say, "Daniel, you suck tonight." In that tune, it wasn't even a good parody at all.
It sounds like these people are very uncreative.
It's true. Historically, I think the least intelligent, least creative subsects of our society always are out gunning for us Daniels. I think that's been a narrative that you can trace throughout all of history.
What's another Daniel you think has been treated unfairly?
Oh, well, I think Daniel Plainview, the lead character of the film There Will Be Blood. Now, he is a fictional character, and I think that's one of the biggest historical obstacles he has to overcome, is that people don't take his struggle seriously, you know, because it was written by a man in the 21st century. But I think he really went through a lot. You know, he went deaf for a period of time when that oil thing blew up. His son was, his relationship with that was very complicated, and he drank so many milkshakes that he had a terrible indigestion for a great period of his life. And I think, you know, people like that, they need people in their corner.
Now, you talk about the movie There Will Be Blood. That role was played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's true.
You a big Daniel Day-Lewis fan?
Absolutely. He does what I try to do in my life and in my acting, where I think he really treats every role, you know, he treats every character as if he really is that person. He treats every movie as if it's really happening. I like to do that, to pretend every movie is real. You know, just that it is really happening, or it really has happened.
Now, how do you feel about Daniel Day-Lewis now saying he's going to retire from acting?
Oh, well, we'll see about that. You know, I think, to some extent, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the limelight. It can be challenging. I do understand the impetus to pull away, but I think a true artist will always get pulled back in. You know, a true Daniel is gonna, you know, he's not gonna change his name to David. He's gonna be Daniel forever. I think something's gonna pull him back in eventually.
Now, would you ever want to work with Daniel Day-Lewis, or is that too many Daniels for a film?
Oh, no, I have a rule where if there's more than one Daniel, I think the film should be all Daniels, you know, sort of pick a lane, either go all the way or go just a little bit. So absolutely, I would love to share the silver screen with Mr. Day-Lewis, but I would have to be a Daniel exclusive production.
Now, who would you have in your cast since you are only casting Daniels?
That's true. I would, there may be some challenges, I will admit. I would say, I would include, again, a fictional character, but I think we could just put him into our character, the character Danny Zuko from the movie Grease. I'm a big fan of him. I think we could just sort of work him in wherever, you know, however we can make it work. Same thing, Danny Phantom. We could have the actual cartoon superhero, or we could have the voice actor who portrayed Danny Phantom. Either way, you know, I don't want to be so, you know, I'm no stickler. I'm no, you know, as long but as
they,
there's
they have
some sort of Daniel.
Attached to a Daniel.
Exactly. It has to be just sort of it's like the, what is it, the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, is that? It's sort of like that, you know, you have to be sort of 1 or 2 degrees away from a Daniel.
Okay. Daniel Craig?
Daniel Craig, absolutely, absolutely. He has, his face, I find truly terrifying. I think he was a great choice to play James Bond because every time I look at him, I feel as if I'm being punched in the face already, you know? He's just a very intimidating man, but I would love to see what he could do on stage next to me, Daniel Day-Lewis, Danny Zuko, and Danny Phantom. Absolutely.
Ah. I mean, that sounds like an incredible cast. Now, would you use this cast for this screenplay you're writing?
Oh, now that's a good idea. That's a good idea. You know, I do try to just sort of write. I just write and let the words come out. I don't think about who's going to play what or how we're going to pull it off until the final product is ready. And I think that could be a great idea. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, who would direct this film? Is there a Daniel you have in mind?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I would say, who is a great Daniel director? Of course, I mean, it seems a bit hubristic, but I might say myself, of course. I am interested, you know, I feel like it's often, you know, many young actors eventually transition to being behind the camera. You know, Ronald Howard, comes to mind. So I would potentially nominate myself, but there are plenty of others. I would say, let's see.
I can't think of a Daniel director right
it's,
now.
I feel as though I have one on the tip of my tongue, but Danny... Daniel Boyle. There you go, Danny Boyle.
Oh, Danny
Boyle,
he's
a director,
yes.
And his name is Daniel, and he's great. He's a fellow Brit, if I'm not mistaken. I think he'd do a bang-up job.
Yeah,
a real bang-up smashing job.
Made some great movies. Oh, I thought of another Danny to be in your film. Danny Trejo.
Oh, absolutely. Mr. Machit, as they say, and that's how we pronounce it, and that's how we pronounce it across the pond again, you say. Oh, look at that. Look at that bloody Machit. That's how you would say it. But
so
yes,
he's always
great.
A great villain.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. A great villain, I like his comedic work, you know, like I said, with Robert Rodriguez and Machit in Junior Spies. Again, that's what we call it across the pond. In England, kid is a very offensive word for a child. It's
really?
It is. It's very demeaning, you know. We like to think of all of our children as little gentlemen and ladies.
Okay. But
say kid, it's very demeaning.
Is it because kid, like, refers to, like, a baby goat?
Yes, absolutely. That's true. We also do hate the goats.
Really?
Absolutely. We hate them. We say, what is this? Some sort of dog with horns? What is this? Some sort of tiny deer that eats garbage? What is this? It doesn't make sense to us. It's a cultural thing. You might not understand, but...
What else have you felt like you had to culturally adjust to moving to the States here?
Oh, well, quite a lot, you know. Especially when I first moved to New York, you know, I ate dozens of pizza pies every day. I gained a lot of weight because I thought it would be rude to walk past a pizza establishment and not go in and purchase a pie. And since then, I've learned that I actually just spoke to a very manipulative man as soon as I moved here who owned a pizza restaurant and simply wanted my business. You know, he really wasn't giving me a guide to success in New York at all.
I mean, there are a lot of pizza establishments.
It's true, exactly. And if you try to eat from every one, you know, you'll start, your sweat will start to smell strongly of cheese. It'll happen.
Did that happen to you?
Yes, it did. I had medically diagnosed cheese pheromone.
Who was the first person to notice?
Well, I would say it was probably my significant other at the time. You know, I don't like to kiss and tell, but I was actually at that point sharing some personal time with one of my castmates from the Harry Potter franchise, Dame Maggie Smith.
Oh, wow.
That's true. Yes, I think I was very attracted to her, you know, to her wisdom, to her presence, she's seen so much of life. She had so much to share with me. And also, I'll admit, it was one of those kinky teacher things, you know?
That is surprising.
I'm full of surprises.
I thought you were going to say one of your friends, one of the younger cast members.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, that would be far too, you know, I don't want to complicate my relationships in that way, you know. We were all, at those, but those were like my brothers and sisters at that point. And again, not like my kinky hot teacher, which I'm very into.
Wow. Good for you, Maggie Smith.
Absolutely. Good for her. Yeah, we have since parted ways, but it was amicable. It was, you know, we both made the decision and we're both moving on with our lives. I believe she may be in sort of a poly arrangement now with the man who played Rubius Hagrid and the ghost of the guy who played Dumbledore.
Oh. The first one?
Yes, the one who is dead. I don't, in Britain, it's not that I forgot what his name is, but it's in Britain, it's very rude to speak the name of a recently deceased friend. So I just, the dead one, he's the one.
Okay, well, good to know. All right, well, I think we've reached the point of our show where we're going to move on to our speed round of questions.
Oh, great, great. I love speed rounds.
So first game we're going to play is, have you ever played the game Fuck, Marry, Kill?
I believe so. Yes, in England we call it boff, and then the other one is get into an argument that lasts a whole lifetime. That one's marry, and then kill is treat them like a goat, because again we don't like them. But I think I understand the concept. Yes.
All right. Well, basically I have three names, and you tell me which goes into which category.
Sure, sure.
First name, Dumbledore.
Ooh. Okay.
Second name, Snape. Ooh. Third name, the one you just mentioned, Hagrid.
Hagrid. Okay. Okay. Well, that's, I would say. I would say, well, given that this may surprise you, but I know, because, you know, as a wizard, as an actor, as just a fan of the Harry Potter franchise, I know that, unfortunately, Dumbledore will pass away throughout the course of the events of the film, and at a certain point, you know, it's like, would you rather have it happen at the hand of a friend, or at the hand of just some mean, bald snake man? I think perhaps I would like to, I would take that burden, I would take Dumbledore. I would kill him, because I think I could do a more gentle, you know, more pleasant way of it. I think I could kill him in a way that he would really enjoy. So I would start with him. I would probably marry Hagrid, because we do have a very emotional relationship. You know, I just said I don't like to complicate lines with my friends, but again, if I have to, you know, he's very nurturing, he cooks very well, and again, he does the thing with the pigtail that I like a lot. I think that could be fun for pranks. I think we could have some fun with that in the bedroom. I think that could, you know, that's the sort of stuff that makes a marriage work long term. And then as far as the fucking, the intercourse goes, I'll go with Snape, because he makes all the potions. I think, you know, I've heard of, you know, not for me, of course, but I've heard about, you know, there are poppers, there are different sort of performance-enhancing chemicals one can take, sort of when one is in the jolly sack, as we say, and I think he would really have the hookup, he would be the plug, as they say, for those sorts of things. So I would say, yes, fuck Snape, marry Hagrid, and kill Dumbledore.
Oh, well, those very detailed descriptions there, I appreciate it. All right, well, now we're going to move into a little bit of word association.
Sure.
Basically, I will say a word, and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Great.
Magic.
Me.
Theater.
Me. Or fucking a horse. Either one.
Okay. Movie.
Harry Potter.
Stage.
Harry Potter on stage.
Culture.
Pizza.
Food.
Horses.
Butter.
Cheese.
Beer.
Cheese.
Acting.
Champion.
Daniel. All right. Well, that's about all we have time for today. I want to thank Daniel for coming in again. It's been a great time.
Well, thank you, Aaron.
A lot of fun was happening. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners before you head out?
I would say please do look out for Cowmen in theaters coming at some point. And also, if any of you write movies and produce movies, please write a movie starring me where I just get to be a normal boy for a while. You know, I'm so tired of being wizards and cowboys, I just want to live life as Daniel. So if somebody could write a movie where I could do that, that would be great.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming in, and we will see you all next time.
Toodaloo.
Thank you again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having the actual Daniel Radcliffe here, it has been my friend Jackson Fisher. How's it going, Jackson?
Great. How's it going, Aaron? Thanks for having me on the show.
What was it like for Daniel Radcliffe? You seem to know quite a bit about him.
I tried. I mean, I've been a big Harry Potter fan for a long time, so I was just sort of trying to pull from that. The Daniel Radcliffe knowledge was not the issue. I decided on a game in the spur of the moment where we had to name a bunch of other Daniels and then just completely blanked on other Daniels. So that was the most challenging part.
I credit you for figuring out Danny Boyle. I was blanking.
I was like, there's somebody whose name is Danny and he's a director. Yeah,
yeah, he's so an Oscar, I got there. Oscar,
and he's great. Exactly.
Oscar,
yeah, he's tremendous. Yeah. But yeah, so that was great. Well, you listeners will know. Yeah, I don't know how consistent my British accent was throughout the whole time, but you know, maybe that's how Daniel Radcliffe is too.
It's one of those things where it's like you start with it and then like it keeps you keep going and people forget to listen for it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Actually, recently saw the SpongeBob musical, and there's a actor like you know how like the Sandy the Squirrel in SpongeBob is supposed to be from Texas.
Yes.
She definitely slipped in and out of that Texas accent, but like, it was one of those things where it's just like, as the show went on, I just didn't kind of care anymore. I was like, oh, I buy into you're from Texas.
Yeah, exactly. At a certain point, you're like, I know you're not a squirrel. I'll just say you're also from Texas, you know, just have a little fun.
Exactly. So Jackson, what are you doing around the city these days?
Sure. Well, I am a comedian, primarily a stand-up comedian, but I do improv and I write things, all sorts of stuff. Right now, I co-host and co-produce a monthly stand-up show called Branded Content every month at it's the first Thursday of every month at Pine Box Rock Shop with my producing partner Simone Norman. So that's kind of that show is kind of my baby. I do that. I also improvise in a show called Shit Scaredless that happens, I believe, once a month at the Pit Loft, although we're figuring out our
seems
our
like everyone's next in door. That position. Right
yeah,
now.
Right? It's the new year. Everybody's kind of, figuring out all
the
their details.
The spaces are all like, hey, you can be here. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of, just sort of like, you can do a thing at some time, but not really hammering down the details. But yeah, those are the main shows that I do, and then I just, perform stand-up and improv all over town whenever I can, man.
Cool. Anything you're looking forward to coming up?
Well, I'm I don't know. I mean, always excited about the new Branded Content. I'm doing a stand-up comedy, like, contest thing at this club next weekend. Yeah, it's at the Eastville Comedy Club at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know when this episode's coming out.
Oh, that's
out.
True. Yeah, I should be. I'm very pluggy,
No,
I'm
of course.
Like,
that's what this
segment is.
That is definitely what this segment's for.
Yeah, exactly. But so excited about doing that and seeing if, seeing where that leads. I have contests are always sort of weird, but it's always sort of exciting to see.
What is a contest? Is it like a battle or?
So this, it's like rather than having just one show of all comedy contestants, my understanding is there's like, throughout the first like couple months of the year, the company that produces this show is called Heron Entertainment, run by Ron Heron. He's a nice guy. The company that runs these shows will put like a few contestants kind of mixed in with their normal club shows. So like I think like of the three or four contest people in the show that I'm on, maybe one of them will move on, and you kind of keep doing shows as long as you're in it, I think. I don't know. We'll see.
How do they judge the contest? Like, if people are just funny or not? Because, like, a lot of times with stand-up, I notice, like, it's just based on the crowd is feeling you or not that night.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a mix of, like, how the crowd responds to you and then how, like, the sort of the representative of the contest, you know, whether it's the guy who booked you or whatever, you know, I think he kind of gets a say, but he'll factor in how the crowd responds. I don't know. We'll see. That's the hard thing with contests. I've done a few of them in the past, and sometimes it's like the audience votes on who wins. Sometimes there's like a panel of judges, and it's like, it's always a very pseudoscience, you know, you can never really say like, oh, this guy is the best.
Yeah. It's always things with those audience votes. Cause it's always like who brought the most friends to this.
It is kind of, it becomes sort of a popularity contest a lot of the time, but I guess that's also kind of what the game is. Yeah.
If you see Jackson at, a coming up competition and you're a listener of this show, go give him a vote.
Yeah, come vote for me. Or you can come to one of my non-competitive shows, you know, support in any way.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, is there anywhere our listeners can find you for more dates and details for your stuff?
Yeah, I've got on Facebook, I have both my personal page and like a page for my comedy stuff. You can like the page or add me on Facebook. I also tweet as just at Jackson D. Fisher is my handle. I was talking off mic earlier, one of my 2018 goals is to be like more productive with my social media. So hopefully I will have an Instagram soon. But that is not off the ground yet. So follow me on Facebook or Twitter, and then I'll tell you how to follow me on Instagram.
Very cool. All right. Thank you again, Jackson, for coming in here today. It's been a lot of fun. I'd like to thank the artist Regulus for the use of our theme song. It's his song Yarning. You can find him on SoundCloud. If you haven't given us a review on iTunes yet, what are you guys rating for? Come on, give us some 5-star reviews. Get us up the charts, because it helps more people find the show, and then I can do more shows and get more audience, and that makes us all happy. If you haven't followed us on Instagram yet, we do have an Instagram. It's at yesandiam, and go follow us there. We post little funny photos and stuff about our guests and a little bit about how the process of making the show happens, too. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you all next time.